Everyone say the dating series.
Dating.
Do you want to say something? So we prayed and well, you're on the spot. So Chanel and Shayla, can you guys just go over a few things? I gotta get the other microphone set up.
Do you guys remember what you learned last week? All right. So, review. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking out. Modesty, women, modesty. When you're modest, you help the guys out. Seriously, big time. Yeah, go ahead.
I remember being going to kids camp. How many of you guys have been here for so long that you remember going to kids camp? Cool. Me and like 4 or 5 other people. Cool. Yeah, I know. So I'm the only one then, I guess. Anyway, so I'm like in second grade, and they told me one of the rules at camp, because they had a pool, right, was you can't wear bikinis, only one pieces, and if you wore a bikini, you need to wear, you know, like a dark shirt over it. I remember asking my camp counselor, why? And she's like, because we're going to help the guys out. And as a second grader, I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, how is me wearing a t-shirt helping anyone? Like, I was so confused by it, but it makes sense to me now.
That's good. So, who remembers the first point from last week? Or who knows it? Probably in your notes, if you took notes. Thank you for asking. What is the purpose of dating? Yes.
Marriage.
Everyone say yay.
Yay.
Yay. And who created, who instituted marriage?
God.
Everyone
God.
Say the Lord. The good Lord. Oh, Bob. Anyways, listen, guys. I'm just going to hit some points. You're not ready to date if it's to validate yourself. It can be toxic to the other person. You put this person on this pedestal, and they will fail you because they're not perfect, and you're not perfect. We also talked about how in 1 Corinthians talks about how if you get married, you're gonna have trouble, right? And how the purpose of dating is it's meant to be a Christ-centered, we'll talk a little bit more about that, a Christ-centered relationship that is designed to make you look more like Christ. You know, you're supposed to love your wife the way that Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her. It's a very selfless and sacrificial love, but that's what love is, amen? It's like when you love someone, you're not that upset that they don't like onions on their tacos, right? I'm cool with not eating onions on my tacos. Tacos are still good without onion. So there's compromise. That was a bad example. But
I was like, why are you going?
That is a terrible example. But does that make sense?
Yes.
I think you're
like,
hungry.
Like, I'm always hungry for tacos. But the way I just explained it this like a week ago is that, like, if you were dating someone, you wouldn't like the attitude. Everyone say attitude.
Attitude.
Oh my gosh, you read my mind. Thanks, Josh. The attitude wouldn't be, I'm not going to cheat on my wife because I don't want to lose her.
You're awesome.
Right? If you have like a best friend, I'm not going to stab my friend in the back because I don't want to lose him. Amen. Right? It's not like, it's not, the actions don't produce the relationship. Come on, the actions don't produce the relationship. The relationship produces the actions.
Because
a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, like all religion is just a bunch of do's and don'ts. Religion is like, you can't do that, you can't do that. I was like, oh my gosh, if you fall in love with Jesus, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. If he, like, it's like before he become, like, if me and Isaac, well, we're pretty good friends. I don't like not talk smack about him because I want to be his friend. That's weird, right? Like, I'm going to do all the right things so like Isaac can love me and we can have a good friendship. It's like, no, we start with a good friendship and I'm not going to stab him in the back because he's my friend. Like, why would I do that? Like, those don'ts make sense. Of course, I'm not going to stab Isaac in the back. He's my friend. It's not the other way around where I don't stab him in the back because I want to keep him as a friend. Like, it's not, the actions don't produce a relationship. So when people talk about, like, the commandments of God and all these do's and don'ts, it's like, okay, when you fall in love with Jesus, why would you want to cheat on God? When you fall in love with Jesus, why would you want to be intimate with what I think Colossians or Ephesians says, the gods of this world? Like, why would you, why when you're an heir of God, would you steep down to, like, the beggarly things and, like, the dumb things? Why would you get into yourself in bondage when you have a relationship with God that sets you free? Does that make sense? It's that relationship produces those actions. I don't think we talked about that last week, actually, but no. So back to the recap. So the dating process and the relation and the marriage process, it's all designed to make us look more like Jesus. And like I said, we'll get a little bit more into the main topic for today is, you know, what are we looking for in a spouse? You know, what are you looking for in a man? What are you looking for in a woman? Amen? Yeah. Anybody want to continue?
Yeah. Do you want to just begin going over that?
Let's do a little bit more review because we still got to look. Can you talk about the second point, how to wait well and working on yourself?
Yeah, if you guys remember, we just talked about how, you know, to be content in your singleness because you're only going to be single for a short period of time in your life. The majority of your life, once you get married, you're with that person, you know? So you only have a short amount of time. Joaquin just, like, slapped Miranda, like, you're mine. You know, if you're doing it the godly way, you're not divorcing them, you know, for better or for worse, right? So just really treasure the season that you have because you're really using this to work on yourself. You need to become the person that you want to be with. Manly men of God want a woman of God. So if you're not a woman of God, then you're not going to, men of God are not going to be attracted to you, you know? So you need to make sure that you are becoming what you're looking for. You can't say, well, I want someone who has a relationship with God, and then you don't invest in your own relationship with God. Because someone who has a relationship with God can sense that. It's like they know by hanging out with you within like a couple times, like, yeah, this person doesn't have a relationship with God in the way that they act, you know? So if you want to be led in the things of God, you need to make sure that you're looking for someone who has that, and you need to be that. Right? So take advantage of your single season while you're in it. You only got it once.
Yeah, just remember by the way, thank you guys for that awesome video, and it was really nice. I was, it made me sad. Well, not sad, but like happy sad, you know? Oh, that, who got me on that? Honestly, I can't stand Snapchat. That's just my personal conviction. It's just like, yeah. Listen, it's everything's good. What does the Bible say that?
Everything's
lawful, but not everything is profitable. And Snapchat is one of those things. Like, it's cool, but honestly, I just it's a waste of time for real. And then it opens up doors to other things, where there's no you think there's no traces, but there's always traces in God, eh? So, there's always traces in God, yeah, so, yeah.
No, I was just going to say something about, I guess it could be while you're waiting or in a dating season, but we talked about it last week about evaluating yourself. And when you do that, like, ask God what he wants you to work on and he'll tell you, but you have to be open and willing to listen and then fix it. But we're always working on ourselves. We're always going to be working on ourselves and making us better. But if we continue to evaluate ourselves in the Word, then we can just make ourselves better for our spouse while we wait.
So. Yeah, going back to what Shayla was saying about, what did you say? You said something about
being the person you want to be with.
Like being the person you want to be with, yes, but I'm not her savior. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not like she's not going to go to heaven just because she has a man that serves God. Like, she has to
have her own relationship.
Yeah, work out her salvation with fear and trembling, you know? We're not going to be standing at the judgment line together, and God's not going to judge us together as a couple. He's going to judge us individually.
That's good.
And remember, just think of Matthew 25. When you go home, read it. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Five of them are getting ready, and five of them are not getting ready. And It says that the husband is coming, or the groom, what does it say? The bridegroom is coming, and then five of them have their lamps with oil, and they're like, hey, give me some of yours. No, this is, like, I've been getting ready. Go find some. And it says that when they go off and find their own oil, it says that the doors are shut, and they were really sad. Yeah. So just remember, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't think that just because you have a righteous husband or righteous boyfriend, that makes you righteous. Only Jesus makes you righteous. So, and it's vice versa for guys and girls. Does that make sense? So don't, oh, I'm cool, like, my wife prays for me, and she, no. Like, you have to work out your own salvation, amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, God doesn't have in-laws.
There was a prophetic word given over me when I was in my single season, and it was to stay in the field because Boaz is coming. And that's a word for everyone, in that if you're playing around not where God's called you to be, God can't bring you what he wants to bring you. You know, so Ruth was in the field working, and that's where Boaz saw her, and then he was able to say, that's a hottie, that's a woman of God, I want that to be my wife. You know, I want her to be my wife. Well, if you're not in the house of God, you know, you're putting whatever happens to be your video games, you know, you're hanging out with your friends, whatever, maybe that's the week that there was a hot man of God there that week. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, you know, you miss them. And I know that's very, like, I'm not, I know that's very, like, you know, I'm obviously just kidding. I'm using that as an analogy to say, you really never know when God wants to bring you someone. And if you're not, like, ready at all times, that's what, you know, that the parable of the 10, that's what it made me think of. Like, half of them are ready and half of them weren't. So do yourself a favor and just always be ready. Just always be ready, you know. And just always be toiling in the field, working on yourself, and that's when God is going to be able to say, cool, you know, let me send a hot Boaz her way, you know, or guys, you know, a hot Ruth, you know what I'm saying.
And we've talked about discouragement, right, before in the past. What's not a good thing to do when you're going through discouragement? Anybody? Yes. Well, that too, but... What was a good point? What was the point? No. Remember, man, you guys are, I'm just kidding. But they are good ones, but when you're going through a season of discouragement, don't stop coming to church. You know what I mean? Stay, because I remember, that was my mistake. Remember that? I shared my experiences with you guys. Stay plugged in, because here, trust me, it could be one day you're feeling discouraged. You just come to church and God will speak directly to you. Don't miss it, you know. Not just because a hot guy's going to be here. It could be like a not just an attractive guy, just his personality, you know. No, I'm not looking at you. No, I didn't. Yeah. That was
when
not,
I said a hot man of God, I meant like on fire for the Lord, you know.
Yeah, all right.
A hot woman of God.
Yeah.
You're either hot or cold, you know.
Yeah, we knew that one. You're so hot, bro.
All right, we're going to move on to the third point. Everyone say, what?
What?
To look for in a spouse.
A spouse.
I forgot the A in spouse. In a spouse. Obviously, I don't want to say obviously. Actually, we're going to do some role playing, okay? I need the wireless one. Isaac and Chanel, if you guys can come up on the stage. So for the purposes of this role play, or you stand right there. Over there. And so Isaac is, so I probably should explain this first, but the number one thing that you guys are looking for, from my perspective, and they'll give you their perspective, but the number one thing is godliness. I want to say godliness.
Godliness.
If godliness is not a characteristic of that person, what do you think is missing from their lives? God. A relationship with Jesus, and someone who has encountered Jesus, is a changed person. You can tell that they're a Christian because they act like Jesus. And that is evident in godliness. Amen? Amen? So if Isaac, so let's say I'm Jesus, right? And I am, Jesus is the center of Isaac's life, right? Your life revolves around Jesus. So revolve around me. Come on. There you go. There you go. And hey, you take it easy. There's kids around. And then Chanel's relationship with Jesus, her life revolves around Jesus, and now you revolve around me. And then they find each other. Everyone's like, aw. No, you keep revolving around me. All right? They find each other, right? Oh, okay. No, continue revolving. Continue revolving, okay? It's still around who? Jesus. So when things go wrong, what is their center? What is their anchor?
Jesus.
All right? Now go back. Now let's say Chanel continued rotating around Jesus. Now let's say her life revolves around Jesus, but his doesn't. Right? His life starts to revolve around her. Now you start revolving around her. Revolve around her. What's getting in the way? You see this? And then when things go wrong, and she's not around me, but he's getting in between. Does that make sense? You guys can sit down. This went totally differently in my head, by the way. Totally differently. But when... Oh, here. If your relationship is not centered around Jesus, your life is centered around something or someone.
Yeah.
And if his relationship is centered around her, then when things go wrong, then she's the problem because he's supposed to be founded, or like his foundation is on her. Does that make sense? And it's going to get crazy and chaotic, and he doesn't have these crazy expectations of her. And can you put up point three, slide three? Look at this. If we have to leave our devotion to God to get them, we have to keep straying from God to keep them. That is like one of the number one, I guess, red flags. I want to say red flags. If all of a sudden like you're skipping Wednesdays because you're hanging out with them, if all of a sudden like you're waking up late on Sunday mornings because you were hanging out late with them, your priorities might be different now. And if you start this relationship and you're not spending as much time, you're not hearing God as much, then something else is starting to replace Jesus. Just like, for example, with Abraham, we talked about Abraham a couple of weeks ago. God, who was Abraham's word? Everyone say God. God comes to Abraham and says, I am your exceedingly great word. And then God tells him about how he's going to have a son named Isaac, which means laughter. A little while after that, God tells Abraham, go on this mountain and sacrifice your son. He tests Abraham to say, are you going to continue to be obedient to me? Or has your son now taken the place of me in your life? Has my blessing now become your God instead of the one who blessed you? Does that make sense? And so one way to know, and then obviously you guys know the story, Abraham's about to kill his son, and then an angel, you know, intervenes, and then God, it's awesome. It's great. Like Abraham was able to obey, and then Abraham's like blessed because of it. Yeah. It's an amazing story. If that person starts to take that place that God's supposed to be on, it's an issue. Yeah. And that is a major red flag. And just like this says, like if you spending time away from God is what's needed to get them, you're going to get them, but you're going to lose God.
Yeah. And a good thing to pay attention to is if you start catching feels for someone and you find yourself lowering your standards when you're around them, like all of a sudden, that song that you would have never listened to, you know, if me or Joel were in the room and you were hanging out with us, you know, you don't feel that convicted listening to that song. You don't mind watching that rated R movie, you know, because, oh, I'm just seeing it with him, you know, and he's not going to judge me for that. And you just start getting lower and lower and lower, and now all of a sudden, you know, you look and it's like, whoa, like, am I, you know, you just wake up and you're a totally different person than where you started in the relationship. So just be watching that as warning signs. If you feel comfortable lowering your standards around them, what does that say? You know, and is that going to produce godliness when you hang out with them? Nonetheless, be in a relationship with them.
Listen, guys, I guess personally, I'm sure you guys can all agree, but ever since I became a Christian, the most attractive thing that I see in someone is their godliness. the most attractive thing that I see in someone is their relationship with God. I'm in love with Jesus, and to see someone else in love with Jesus makes me fall in love with them too. Does that make sense? And that needs to be all of us. That needs to be our number one, the number one quality that we look for in a person needs to be, do they love Jesus? Because honestly, like, it just takes so, like, okay, just personally, me, it takes so much weight off of me knowing that, like Isaac said, I'm not her savior. It takes so much pressure off of me knowing that I don't have to fix everything because there's a God who can fix it. Does that make sense? Yeah. It takes so much pressure off me that I don't, and listen, and I know there's things that I have to say. There's things that I have to do to make things better. Does that make sense? And if, especially if I've made a mistake, you know, I can be like, God, you fix it. It's like, God's gonna be like, no, you messed up, you fix it. So I get that there's a part that we play. But it just helps knowing that it's not just me and her, but it's me, Jesus, and her. Does it make sense? That we can, and listen, this is like, for those of you, for all of you like hopeless romantics out there, this is like the best and like the deepest way that you can connect with someone is through Jesus. When you connect with someone through truth, through the creator of the universe, you're gonna find a level of faithfulness and commitment that you won't find in the world. Amen. You're gonna find a level of security. And look, there's people out there that they throw around like the word divorce as like accusations, or they throw that word to like get what they want. They're manipulative. But when you're a Christian and Jesus is the center, like I know she's gonna stay in the relationship not because of me, because of Jesus. And that is like comforting. Does that make sense? And as long as I keep Jesus at the center, as long as she keeps Jesus at the center, no matter how bad it gets, we know it's gonna get better because that's who our God is. He's gonna make it better. Does that make sense?
There's another good, it says, is it point three, slide number two? It says, ladies, he cannot lead you if he's not being led by God. Let me talk to the ladies. I have a special heart. Like when he said, I never saw it that way, but the girls, if you know me, like I got you guys' back. Like, If some boy's gonna try to come up here and like control you or manipulate you, like I'll talk to him one on one. I have before. And not that I'm trying to be this macho guy, I just wanna be like a godly protector that sometimes your parents aren't around. But don't fall into the lie that you could bring your boyfriend to church and stay in the relationship thinking like, God is going to use me to convert him so he could be mine. Does that make sense? Like, God is going to use me to convert my boyfriend because he's the one that God has. Don't be God. Like, just, if you come to church and you can't lift up your hands because your boyfriend's going to look at you, then there's something weird there, you know? Like, be yourself. If he doesn't like you because you're worshiping God, then that's a big-time red flag. Hey, boy, I'm going to break up with you in the middle of service, you know? For real, seriously, like, and we'll pray for restoration on this.
Turn to your neighbor and say, it's over.
I mean, that's just straight obedience. It's like Paul used to teach, like, radical amputation. Like, whatever is pulling you down from a relationship with God, like, just amputate that from your life. It says that if your left eye or whatever is causing you to sin, then pluck that eye out. It's better to get to heaven with one eye than to lose your life. So that's the same concept with boys. Like, it's better to get to heaven single than to get with some, like, fuchi boyfriend that's going to make you go to hell because you've been sinning. Does that make sense? So, girls, let me talk to you. Like, if you really like a guy, then just tell him, listen, this is where I stand. This is what I believe. And this is what I'm looking for in a man. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't give me an ultimatum. All right, Bubba. Manipulation. Radical amputation. Bye, you know? And seriously, it's going to hurt for a little bit, but I'd rather be hurt for a little bit than to have to suffer a whole lifetime of, like, me coming to church and my husband staying, or, you know, girls, me come, and trust me, I saw that in the church growing up. Like, the ladies come to church and their husbands are at home, like, pounding, and the kids are all confused. Like, I want to stay with dad. And I, you know, no, you want to be like in the same like state of mind where like where me and my house are gonna serve the Lord. Make that decision before you get married, not after, because once you're married, it's so hard to like, it's like what? All right, if you don't come to church with me, I'm gonna divorce you. It doesn't work like that. Now you have to be at church praying for your husband or praying for your wife, not enjoying service because you know this guy's at home, who knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? Eating peanut M&M's. I ate some, bro. Here, give me one. I'll eat one.
No,
does
I was
that
gonna,
make sense?
I was going to say, when me and Isaac were dating, we set standards. We're like, divorce is not an option. Remember that? We said we're going to be different. Well, I mean, if you guys have the same mindset and the same core values, then when something happens or it's shaky, then you just get right back on track. That has to be established at the beginning. And don't compromise. I was going to talk about red flags too. Like once you see that red flag, don't compromise, because you're just wasting time if you get into a relationship that you have to compromise for. You're wasting the time that God has for you to be doing something else.
Like scripture says, don't be unequally yoked. And honestly, I don't think that's talking about believers not dating unbelievers. That's obvious. I think it's believers not with someone who doesn't have the same godly standard. You're like, he could be going to church and you could be like, yeah, we're equally yoked. You know, he goes to church, I go to church. No, sister woman. Nuh-uh. No, brother. You know, make sure if you're not sure, if you're not confident, come to a leader. You know, come and say, hey, like, I kind of have feelings for this guy. Like, can you keep a lookout for him and tell me if you think he has those godly attributes that, you know, because sometimes your feelings can fog up. You know, you think he's a Prince Charming and he's a frog, you know, same, you know. So, and then I want to say my Landon, you guys know Landon, he's one of my mentors, and he says that what you should be doing in your Christian walk is running as fast toward Jesus Christ as possible. And when you look to your right, if there's someone walking, running as fast as you can towards God, that's your boo, you know. Like, if you're running full force and you look to the right and there's someone there running just as fast as you, that's it. You got your babe. If you're looking behind you, like, come on, come to church with me. Come on, come to prayer with me. Let's serve in ministry together. Come on, let's go to camp together. It's like, it's only a matter of time before they slow you down, you know? So just do yourself a favor. Run as fast as you can towards God. And if someone's running as fast with you, then you got it. But if you're looking back, they're just gonna slow you down.
Yeah, recognize that the center of our life is Jesus. Your spouse is meant to complement you and not complete you. They're not the answer to all your problems. They're gonna complement you. And I'm gonna talk for a couple of minutes about just like your destiny, and then these guys are gonna hit accountability, because that's really important too in the church. But one thing that I really want you guys to know is that as far as all the traits, and listen, I don't know how much we'll get into it, but obviously like loyalty, faithfulness, you know, honesty, all these things are very important to look for in a person. But there needs to be something deeper, and here's what I'm talking about is it's every single one of us, we were created with a destiny and a purpose. And for example, like if Isaac was called to be a preacher in Africa, and Chanel was called to be like an evangelist in like California, there's a difference of calling. Does that make sense? And they wouldn't be meant for each other. Even though they have the great traits, even though they find each other attractive, even though it may seem like everything's perfect for them, they have different callings. And so that's really important for us to know, is that is this person going to the same place I'm going? Does that make sense? Because when you guys get married, you guys become one. Which means like your callings need to become one. Does that make sense? Like what Isaac is called to needs to be the same thing that Chanel's called to, because they're one. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so that's one thing, and that it's like we're stacking everything. Does that make sense? Like, are they running as fast as you are? Or do they love Jesus as much as you do? And then like another thing is like, are they called to be and do the same thing that I'm called? Like if I'm called to full-time ministry, then is that person called to full-time ministry, or are they called to travel? Like, does that make sense? Like, because these are very important things. So at the end of the day, like, you got to do what you're called to do, and I got to do what I'm called to do. We got to make sure that we're called to do the same thing. Does that make sense? So that's something really important for us to look at when we're, I guess, we're like saying, and honestly, like, a lot of this, if you guys keep Jesus at the center and you guys pursue him with like everything you have, a lot of these things will come naturally. Does that make sense? A lot of this will just fall into place. We're like, oh my gosh, like this person, like wow, like this person loves Jesus so much. And then we'll talk a little bit more accountability, and that plays a role in there. But when you guys keep Jesus at the center, the Holy Spirit is awesome and will reveal things to you. And when you start getting feelings for someone and the Holy Spirit's like, you shouldn't be doing that, then obviously listen to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Just because you have feelings for someone doesn't mean they're the one. Just because you have feelings for someone doesn't mean they're the one. Your feelings are not the voice of God. They're not. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. All right.
Well, there's another good point up there. Don't settle for less just because it's available. Oh my God. You know? Can you put it up there? It's point three, number one. Don't settle for less just because it's available. And this is gonna sound kind of sad, but even if it's an available brother in the church, just because they're available and they come to church, like you have to see the fruits of God's calling on their life. Does that make sense? Because I could come to church all the time, but I could be talking smack about the pastors. Like, you got to see red flags all the time. I come to church. I know a lot of church people that will just sit and just talk about, you know, not Joel, but I'm just going to use an example. Like, what's it called? This is not true. I'm just saying it's hypothetical. Do you guys know what a hypothetical is? It's just suppose, you know, they're just gossiping all the time. Oh, they're just complaining all the time. I hate complainers. Well, I dislike complainers. God loves complainers, but he wants them to change. Amen. The things that God hates, you have to hate too. Busybodies, you know, they're never home. They're just always trying to, you know, girls and guys, you don't want that. Because trust me, when you get home from work, the last thing you want to hear is, guess what? Dude, seriously, like, let me just go to my room and put on my headphones and go, you know, like, when I get home, I could have a conversation with my wife. We're not gossiping about nobody, you know. That starts from the beginning. You know who a complainer is when you meet them. You know who a talker is when you meet them. That's just something that they've dealt with all their lives. They just like talking. And a lot of it comes from insecurities within themselves. Does that make sense? So if they're secure in who they are in Jesus, then all that other crap is going to kind of, God is going to check that, but they have to be open to be checked. Does that make sense? So everybody say, I don't want no complainer. Say, I don't want no gossiper. That's accountability. We're going into accountability. Hey, I like a guy, but he's a gossiper. I'll tell you right now. Tell him to come talk to me so I could tell him not to gossip. But if he doesn't, if he continues to gossip, then he's no good for you. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I just want to say one thing. You got to recognize the difference between people who are in Christ and people who are in church. Yeah. There's a difference. Some people are just in church. It's a very self-righteous thing, but it's a lot different to be gossip. There are no gossipers in Christ. Yeah. There are no liars in Christ. There are no deceivers or manipulators in Christ. But there are in church. Yeah. So recognize, is he in church or is he in Christ?
Yeah, and like going back to the original point of, you know, the whole point of dating is for marriage. When you see red flags like that, maybe they're gossiping, maybe they're complaining, ask yourself, realistically, do I see myself living with this person for the rest of my life? Because that really takes you out of, oh, he'll get better, you know, it's like, maybe pointing out to him, and if he keeps doing it, I'm saying him because, you know, I mean both ways, you know. So if they're doing this thing over and over, even when you pointed it out, just realize, you know, that's something that you might not want your whole life. So use that as a measuring stick of a question to help really assess yourself, you know. Do I see this person dealing with this my entire life? It's a good measuring stick.
Yeah, I mean, they have the potential to change, and that's why I said evaluate yourself, because we can sometimes get caught up in complaining and all of that as well. So, but like she said, do you continue in it or do you fix it? And that's the main thing that's the difference. Some people just keep going and going and stuff, and so you don't want that, and it's just toxic. It's toxic, and then you can get wrapped up in the middle of it and then start doing that as well. So
yeah, and that's a that they're not, that you don't have lordship, you know? The fact that they don't have that, the fact that they are okay with sinning over and over and over and over and over, it's like, how are you comfortable with just living in straight up sin, you know? And you also, another rule stick for marriage is you need to say, if he's this comfortable with sinning now, why would he not be comfortable with sinning, you know, 20 years down the road, when you, whatever it happens to be, you know?
Oh my gosh, probably like 5 or 6 years ago, Landon had a he had a message, and he was talking about this guy that he was counseling, and this guy was like tripping out because he started doing things like he never did before. Like he was complaining more than he thought he would. He was you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what he was doing? I know what complaining was one of them. Like, I think he was, like, more easily irritated, and he was, like, he was more easily irritated. He was complaining. He was doing other things, and so he's, like...
He was also, like, having a hard time sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because there's demonic oppression. Anyway, so he's having all these issues, and so Landon's, like, well, he's, like, I don't know if they're still dating, but he's, like, you're dating this girl, right? And he's, like, yeah, and then he said, was she like that? He's, like... Yeah, like she would do all, like everything that he was experiencing, he was doing it. And then he asked, he's like, were you guys sexual? Like, were you guys intimate? And he's like, yeah. And then so Landon just told him, like, hey, like when, you know, intimacy in the physical is not just physical, but there's intimacy that happens in the spiritual, and there's a thing get transferred. And so she had been dealing with like this demonic stuff in her life, and now he started dealing with that demonic stuff too in his life.
No, she was full on practicing black magic.
Oh well, there you go.
So he all of a sudden started feeling demonic oppression and having all this ugliness in him because he was sexually intimate with someone who was practicing that stuff, and so it literally started taking place in his life because it was spiritual.
If there's some light bulbs, I'm not looking. But if there's some light bulbs going off right now of like, oh my gosh, maybe that's why like I started feeling this way. Or maybe that's why. I'm not saying like you had to go like all the way. I'm just saying that the physical intimacy, there's some transference of some spiritual things, which is very dangerous, especially before marriage. I heard this guy say, he says Satan will do everything to get you to be intimate before marriage, and then he'll do everything to get you to not be intimate after you get married. And... but yeah, and so recognize that when you get into a relationship, Satan's doing everything he can with your thoughts, with your emotions, to bring you guys to compromise, because he knows that some things will get transferred. Because like if you're not ready to get married, then they're not ready to get married, and you guys are intimate, like some ugly stuff is gonna get transferred, and yeah, so like if you've ever been in a relationship and you start acting a certain way, you're like, oh my gosh, I've heard this a lot of times. I didn't start acting this way until this person came into my life. Does it make sense now? Don't answer.
Yeah, that's really good. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, my dad always told me this. He says that when we're not doing so well, we would always tell him, well, nothing happened, Dad. Nothing happened to us. And so he told us about some guy that he knew. He was a young guy when he was in his youth group. And he would always say the same thing, like, hey, like, my dad and his friends would tell the guy, hey, man, be careful, you're going to get burned. And then he would come back. Like, he would leave church for, like, 2-3 months and then come back, like, see, I didn't get burned. And then they're like, yeah, you didn't get burned, but you sure do smell like bonfire, you know. So like what he's saying, you don't necessarily have to get burned, but have you guys ever gone to the beach to a bonfire? Like you come home, everything smells. I mean, imagine, like, that's like a spiritual reality that happens. Like, I mean, you smell like sin, you know what I mean? And we don't want that. And that, we just real quick going into accountability, have some accountability partners. And let it be a leader. Don't find somebody from, I mean, it's good to have like friends that you could talk to, like the same age, but find somebody who's a little bit older than you, who's in the church, who's had some experience. Like our mentors are Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara, my parents. They're older than us, but they have so much more experience. You know, you guys find somebody, find us, find Shay, find Joel, find Edgar, Rebecca, Paul, Deb. Like, they have a lot of experience to share with you guys of things that they've been through. And trust me, we don't want you guys to go to hurt like we went through hurts. If you guys could learn from us, like, learn from us big time. I would hate to see my own daughter going through things where I had the chance to speak in that, but I just didn't speak because I was scared to be bold. Like, no, I'm going to, man, that girl's going to get it real good, you know? But, I mean, she's just a little still, but just understand accountability. And honestly, like, Joel, I'll call Joel and I'll share personal things. Like, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. And it's something good about exposing sin. Not because he's going to shame me, but it's good to confess it, because then he could pray with me. Not that I need a man to confess to, but because remember, Jesus is the one that intercedes for us. But when I talk to him, then he could help me pray, and I'm just not carrying this burden on my own. And I'm like, James says that, confess your sins with one another so healing could come. Another good verse is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, and we've shared this. 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of what? Of ourselves together, as a lot of other people do, right? They forsake, but exhorting one another, keeping each other in check, right? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Like, God is coming back soon, guys. So let's keep each other on check. So when the day comes where it's like we hear the trumpets, it's not like, ooh, let me go get some oil. Hey, let me get some of your oil. It's too late. Too late for roses. Amen.
We kind of touched on it last week, but just be practical and don't set boundaries for yourself. Don't be alone with the opposite sex. Huh? Set boundaries for yourself. What did I say? Oh, I did. I'm sorry. Oops. set boundaries for yourself. I'm sorry. You know what you're doing. Don't be alone with the opposite sex. That is only going to tempt you guys. Make that clear when you're starting to date. Make that clear from the beginning. Like, these are what I'm looking for, and this is things that I'm not going to compromise.
And when you do stuff like that, no one's thinking, oh, they have to have a chaperone because they're going to sin if they don't. Like, no one's thinking that. We're thinking that because you're human. Like, we have sin nature, guys. That's what we truly believe, is that every single human has sin nature. And so you're prone to want to sin. So what do you do to try not to? You put godly principles in your life, you know, and you say, no, I'm going to let my spirit lead. I'm going to put these guardrails on the side to make sure I don't let that flesh take a hold of what my flesh wants to do. I'm going to let my spirit lead. So if you guys come up to us and you say, hey, like, I want to get some accountability on this subject, you know, or hey, like, if for some of the older people in the room, like, I'm interested in this guy. I kind of maybe want to start, you know, dating him. I'm not really sure yet. Maybe we can all hang out as a group of friends. Can you be a good accountability for us? You know, I'm not thinking, you sinner, you know, you totally want to mac with this guy. You know, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, this is so mature, you know. So no one's assuming the worst of you. We're assuming the best.
I was going to say, don't be that guy or girl that says, I don't deal with lust. That's something that I don't deal with. Yeah. Really, though, because I've heard it in the past from people like, oh, that's just something I don't deal with. So then they continue to hang out with that girl by themselves and or that boy. And you're really just deceiving yourself. Seriously. So really, really don't be that person. Just protect your heart, protect yourselves, and don't do it.
All right. Here's the final thought. All right. Or here's the final thing concerning accountability.
Listen, Pastor Drew and Tamara, Isaac and Chanel, other couples in the church, they are great people to... You need accountability, okay? It's a great thing. Everyone say it's a great thing. And it's a lie that we've all heard that, like, you don't need them to tell you what to do or that you don't need their help. Listen, we need their help. We really do. Because if you're not in a... If you don't know what it's... if a godly relationship is new to you, it's new to you, and you're gonna need some help of how to, like, you know, stay godly. I wanna say stay godly. If he, for example, if you're a girl in church and you want to date someone, like, talk to Chanel, talk to Pastor Tamara, talk to Shayla. And if that guy is not willing to come up to talk to me or Isaac, there's an issue there. There's a submission issue there. And if they don't have, like, the guts to come up to talk to me or Isaac, then what makes you think they'll listen to God? And same thing vice versa. If you're dating a girl and she's not willing to go up to Chanel or Shayla or Pastor Tamara, there's a submission issue there. And if she's not going to listen to them, she's not listening to God. And if she doesn't listen to them, then she's not going to listen to you. And all the way around, right? Does that make sense? There needs to be this accountability. And that is honestly, like, a good check. If a guy is willing to talk to his pastor before he asks you out, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That is the 0.01% of this world.
Yeah.
0.01% of this world, because they are putting themselves under authority, and they're willing for their pastor to say, no, you're not ready. You want someone who's humble, like Alicia was talking about humility. If they're willing to be humble and accept that, okay, I'm not ready, or I am ready, or I got to work on this, oh my gosh, that is like a heart of gold that you need. You need someone who's willing to say that they're wrong. Does that make sense? And one of the best ways to do that is, are they under accountability? Do you want to say something?
No,
so you grab the.
I want to end in prayer.
Okay.
Like, pray over their lives beforehand.
I have the. This is the best one, dude. It says, if you stop searching for a man, maybe you'll meet the guy that God sent you. And then it says, desperation doesn't lead to God's will, it leads to distractions. So that's good. But I just like this guy right here. It's funny. I was just laughing. Sorry. Let's pray. Yeah.
Dear God, we just speak over this youth group that you would just help all of us, God. Just lead us in your ways. Help
yes,
us
Lord.
To seek after your righteousness, and then and in doing that, all good things will come. So we pray, God, that you just help all these young people to walk out patience and walk out maturity in their own lives, God. And we know that you have good things for them. You have good intent for them, God. So I just pray that every single person in this room would just have a confidence, knowing that you're not trying to hold anything back
yes,
from
Lord.
Them, but that you have something good for them. And so just to be patient as they're walking that out, I pray, God, that you would just help all the leaders in the room to have compassion on them and to just have a spirit that wants to see them succeed and wants to see them grow in your word, God. So I just pray that you help all of us to be able to work together in accountability and pushing towards godly relationships. In your name I pray. Amen.